Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected listeners, this is the interview segment. The time is from 8:30 to 9, and you know it's Monday to Fridays. Alhamdulillah, the day today is the 30th of Safar, 1446. We have Mufti Farhan Karani. Let's welcome Mufti Saab. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alhamdulillah, how's Mufti Saab doing?
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, last time we discussed about the funerals, all this innovations that are taking place at weddings, at the nikahs, all of these added functions also, which do not consist part of the Sharia. And alhamdulillah, there was good feedback from that. Many people were saying that this needed to be addressed. And sometimes it's happening in front of people by their houses, so they cannot address the situation. So like this, alhamdulillah, we are able to speak about these things and also alert the ummah. What's on Mufti Saab's mind for today?
Yeah, I was thinking on the topic of Janazah. ابن ربيعة رمضان البراء رضي الله عنه يسير قال أمرنا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بسبع ونهانا عن سبع. So he says that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم advised us of seven things and he prohibited us from seven things. Now you might have come across a hadith where Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم mentions three things, just take note of three things or take note of four things or five things, in this instance, seven things. So according to the audience that Nabi Fasan was speaking to, the people he was speaking to, or the person he was speaking to, he advised him according to the situation. So in this instance, Nabi Fasan brought to the Sahaba's attention seven very, very important things. Each topic you can, each point you can talk for hours on. But we will just mention the first point. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed us, he prohibited us from seven things. So the first thing Nabi Sam instructed us to do is ittiba'il janayiz. Inshallah, we will touch on this today. What does this mean? To attend the janazah. To attend the janazah for the So it is the responsibility. There are three, like we're mentioning, three things and something. So there are three things which are the responsibility of every mu'min. Right? So if he passes away, or if four things, if he greets you, you must reply him. If he sneezes, you must reply the sneeze. And if he passes away, you must attend his janazah. And the fourth thing is that if he invites you to a meal, then you must accept the invitation. So this attending the janazah has been emphasized in many ahadith. Now, we tend to only attend the janazas of those people whom we know. We must try to attend the janazah of any Muslim brother or sister that passed away. Not because they, if we attend somebody's janazah salah, then they will attend our janazah salah. Not because of that. It's because of the sunnah of Rasulullah that it's the instruction of my Nabi that if somebody passes away, I must attend his janazah salah. This is the janazah salah is a dua of maghfirat for that mu'min or mu'mina who has passed away. We would also like more people to attend our janazah because the more people attend the janazah, the more chance of our maghfirat. So this attending the janazah is a great ibadah. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in another hadith advised us that to attend the janazah salah is that you get the reward of one qirat. And if you go to the grave to fill in the qabr, then you get another qirat. So two qirat. And what is one qirat? The amount of sawab of one qirat is like amount of Mount Uhud. So this is how much. So this is just a description by Nasan that this is how much of a reward you get. Many ahadith, Nabi Sassam mentions to the sahaba, according to their understanding. Like Nabi Sassam would say that if you do this act of charity, then it is like getting three pregnant she camels as a reward. So this was the explanation given to the Sahaba, because that is what they were involved in. That was the time that they were living in, and what was available for them at that time. And Mount Uhud is visible from Medina Munawwara. So Nabi Sassam explained that this is how much of reward you will get. So we tend to only go to funerals of people whom we know. Sometimes we see a funeral notice on our phone, message from the so-and-so passed away. Another salah is at 5 p.m. If we're in the area, we must try to attend the janazah salah. Doesn't matter, we don't know anybody there. Now we will touch on a few points. That the community is largely responsible for. It's, you know, a janazah is such a reminder. When you see a janazah, you know, a reminder of death, and the janazah vehicle also is a reminder of death. So I remember my mamaji used to park the janazah hearse in his garage. And so the community used to park the janazah hearse in his garage. And when we used to go and visit, we never used to go that side of the house, you know, where the garage is. So you used to be like, bang, like, the janazah guy is dead side there. You mustn't even go peep there. So it's a reminder of death. So when somebody passes away, it is an occasion of sympathy, it is an occasion of reminding ourselves that, you know, this person left the dunya. He left so young, man. This person here, oh, she was healthy. She was healthy. There was nothing wrong with him. All of a sudden, he just passed away. But now when we go to the janazah, then what we do, we stand around there, we're talking. Oh, we met this brother after so long. Hey, this family member, I never seen for so long. That friend, hey, for years I never seen him. Now we need to catch up for stories. Or now we meet a business associate, and now we want to discuss our business matters. Oh, don't worry, I'm sending the invoice. Oh, I must come and collect the goods. Or, yeah, the container is coming. Or the goods have arrived. Or I need so much on that deal. But we forget that we are standing here to attend the janazah salah of somebody. While the janazah is lying in front, right in front there, the janazah is lying there, there'll be maybe two sets of people standing. And the rest, what are they doing? They're standing at the back and talking. It is so annoying. Any janazah you go to, whether it's landlord, wherever in the world you go to, especially in South Africa, that you'll find people talking loud and laughing and joking and catching up. And people are trying to alert them that, you know, brothers, please keep quiet. There's a janazah here. Can we please read for the mayit? Let us remember that also. Brothers will talk and talk, but the other brothers will carry on speaking. Mm. They don't even care the least that, you know, somebody is alerting me to a janazah that's right in front of me. It could be me, and it will be me laying there. And how would I like it when other people are talking at my janazah? So it's just respectful to the janazah, and it is a sign of the heart being completely dead. The janazah is lying there, but my heart is so dead that I don't even care. I am laughing there the best, and I'm talking, and I'm catching up on stories and people who I never met for so long. Rather, I stand there in the surf, make the surf, and read for the mayyit. Read kul, read alakumutakasu, read for the fasya. Read something for the mayyit, and make muraqabah. Yes, tomorrow it's going to be needed. How much have I prepared for my journey to the Akhirah? Because it is inevitable that every single person has to die. Kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. Every soul shall take death. So, and now, that is the time just before janazah salah. Now, let us discuss what happens when we take out the janazah from the vehicle. And taking out the mayyit from the vehicle. Now, what is the sunnah practice? The sunnah practice is to carry the janazah. Four people should carry the janazah, the bier. And you should carry the bier on your shoulder. So one person will carry it on the right, one on the left, one in the back right, one on the back left. And they walk for 10 steps each, and then they rotate, and then make it 40 steps. and each one walks for 40 steps. That is the sunnah. The sunnah way is not the way that we see at every janazah. That the body is taken out, the bier is taken out from the vehicle, and then the long stuff is formed, and everybody passes the mayit on like they're passing on some vegetables or potatoes or something. It is disrespectful. And you even try to, maybe two people try to carry the janazah and walk with it, and then you'll still find people still forming that line. That line is not part of the sunnah. You must get rid of that line and carry the janazah on your shoulder. Walk for 40 steps, then pass it on to the next person, and so on. That is how you carry the janazah. Even after the janazah is being picked up, the janazah salah is read, and even then, pick up the janazah, walk for 40 steps. I don't think you will even make it for 40 steps from where the janazah salah was read and till the vehicle. And if you look at West Park Cemetery, it's very close. Four people is enough for them to carry the janazah from there. Now, you just create a traffic jam there because everybody now wants to stand in a queue there. Now that you don't even know which way the janazah must go. So we must try to make amal and sunnah. If four people are carrying, fine, let them carry it and let them move with the janazah. You know, the mayit talks to us when we are carrying the janazah. If the mayit was a good person, then the mayit says, hurry, hurry, hurry with me. What's the delay? Why are you taking so long? And if the person, Allah forbid, that janazah, that mayit was a bad, evil person, then that mayit screams and it cries and it says, where are you taking me? Don't take me there. Why are you taking me there? And every creation of Allah besides insan and jinn can hear. Animals can hear those screams. And so that janazah is being taken to its final resting place, final destination. And so we have to, you know, the pious people of before, when they used to just see the janazah, a janazah somewhere going past, they would go into depression. They would cry. They would go into deep depression that, ya Allah, what if I prepared for my akhirah? And they would then go frantically trying to make ibadah and make longer rakats of salah and more ibadah. And because they know that now they have to leave this world. Now let us go to the next step of it when we go to the qabr. So you will find that there are maybe 100 people, 200 people there by the qabr. And there are only, the family members will be standing around, four people will go into the qabr. After the janazah is being put into the qabr, then you find that nobody wants to fall sand. And nobody wants to fall sand in the qabr. Why? Because my loafers are going to get messed, and my expensive trouser is going to get messed, and my kurta is going to get dirty, and I'm not ready for this year. My hands are going to get dirty. And we're leaving out the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So what is the sunnah? When the janazah is in place in the grave, then we must take three handfuls of sand, and we must read the ayat of the Quran, which is a dua also, minha khalaqnakum. وفيها نعيدكم towards one handful, منها خلقناكم the second handful, وفيها نعيدكم the third, ومنها نخرجكم تارة أخرى. So we have three handfuls of sand in the qabr. Thereafter you can take the shovel and you can throw sand into the qabr. But you find that nowadays there are front-head loaders or back-head loaders there and CLTs waiting to throw sand into the qabr. Why? Why is that there? Because they have seen that people are so lazy, they don't want to fill the qabr. So the qabr takes so long to fill because there's only two or three people throwing sand in the qabr. And people don't want to get dirty, don't want to get their hands and clothes dirty. We must make it a point that we must throw sand in the qabr. And so many people around, standing around. Other people are standing at the back and talking. And they are just spectating. And others are running away from the task center. And brothers, we have to go in that same cover there. We are scared of tomorrow, the sand will be thrown on top of us. And in our grave is not going to be tiles, not going to have porcelain tiles there, and mattress there, and air condition there, and tuskers and things to come and clean up your grave there. It's going to be the same red sand we have to lay in, and the other sand will be thrown on top of us. And that is how we're going to spend our life until the day of Qiyamah in that cover. No cleaning up. Your coffin is going to get red. It's going to stay red. So it is our amal that is going to be with us in our cover. That a good deed will come in, give us affirmation and will tell us that, don't worry, you are going to be okay. Nothing will happen to you. Don't worry. See, trees of Jannah will be open up for us in the qabr, and we will be told, don't worry, please, there's no worry for you. And the person is dead, then that grace sees this person. So before putting a mayit in the grave, one sunnah is that, or one etiquette of putting the janazah into the qabr is that the bead must be brought by the qibla side of the grave, and from then the four people go into the qabr, and the janazah will be lowered from the qibla side into the qabr, and slowly put down, lowered down into the qabr, and the janazah will be made to face the qibla, and some sand put behind to make sure that the janazah stays that way, and then the planks will be placed in. And all this here is a reminder for us. We must go there and look into the qabr and see, ya Allah, this is what's going to happen to me tomorrow. People will be in a hurry to throw sand on top of me so they can go back to their lives. They can go back to what they are doing, and they will forget about me. My amal will be the only thing which will benefit me until I go and until I stand in front of Allah Ta'ala. So what happens when a person passes away? So now the qabr is being closed. And so I was by one janazah salah, and there was the TRB standing there on standby. So I told one brother, you know, we're going to use our hands. You know, please, can you just try not to use the machine there? So he said, okay. So unfortunately, there were only two shovels there. Two shovels. So they make it like that, there is only two shovels. So when people saw that we are throwing sand with the shovel, there's only two shovels, now other people are feeling shy. Now they have to start throwing also. They can't stand around there. So they're taking other planks, using planks as shovels and throwing sand in there. So because they don't want us to throw sand in the cover, they want to come with one, two loads of sand with the TRB and just drop it onto the cover. And this is so, it's so disrespectful to the mayit. You're just dumping a whole lot of sand. What, you know, it's like one ton of sand just dropping on your cupboard one time like it. I mean, it's not the right thing to do. So we must try to use our hands and the shovel to throw sand inside the cupboard. And after the janazah has been placed and the cupboard has been filled, then we should make the cupboard like a camel thumb, like the Muslim advisor. Like one handstand high, and you make it in a like a camel thumb. And we shouldn't put any kind of tombstones there, granite or bricks around. And the cover must remain plain and simple with nothing around there. And it must just put the, you can put the planks will go there to show where the head side, and you can put a name board there. But that is it. It's a simple name board. Simple name board, not a fancy thing here and a granite tombstone piece there, nothing like that. So the qabr must be a plain, simple thing. You know, when we drive past the qabr side, we don't even take a lesson. But, you know, there are some people here buried. My grandfather always used to tell me, go past the qabr side, read three quls and send to the mayit in the qabr side, because nobody is reading for them. Nobody is reading for them. We should send some Quran Sharif for them, some Zikrullah, send it, some good, do some good deeds, and send a reward for them. People buried there for maybe over 100 years in other Qabristans, older Qabristans, for centuries they are buried there. And their family members have forgotten, their family members, immediate family members, have just remember them until they were alive. And then after that, their grandchildren don't remember them, great grandchildren don't remember them. So, humans, read when we go to the Qabristan, read for the mayyid in that Qabristan, make dua for all of them. And one incident comes to mind with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, went past two Qabr, and the inhabitants of that two qabrs were being punished. And it wasn't, they weren't being punished for something very big. It was something which we would call very small. The one person was being punished because he wasn't careful of urine drops. He needs to go to the toilet. He wasn't careful that the urine drops must not splash back onto him on his body or clothing. So he was being punished for that. And the other person was being punished because of getting killed. And getting killed, I one story from here. It's a very juicy story. Let's tell it here. Let's forward it there. Or let me tell this one. Let me tell that one. So these are all reminders for us that we have to leave this world. So when a person dies, then after the qabr is being filled and the people leave the qabr, because they're not going to stand around forever. Even the family members, they have to go home. And so when the last person leaves that qabr and before he steps away, then those two angels, those two very, very frightening looking angels come with the head, with blue eyes and fire coming out of their mouth, and they look so fearsome, and they come and ask us a question. And then if we pass those questions, then we will have a window of Jannah, a breeze of Jannah open for us, and it will fill our qabr with nice fragrance from Jannah. And when a person passes away, then their soul goes to either Illiyin or Sijin. Illiyin is where the good souls go, and Sijin is where the evil souls go. So some people, they don't believe in life after death. And so Allah Ta'ala reminds us all the time that there is life after death. So a person, some people, they cremate their deceased because they don't want to be questioned by Allah Ta'ala. They don't want to be answerable for their deeds. So they think that, oh, if I incinerate my body, then nothing will happen. I won't have to answer for anything. But the reality is everybody has to answer for their deeds in their qabr. Every person has to meet his Rabb and play some music. What we did, good we did, you'll be rewarded. And what we evil we did, you will be taken to task for. Allah Ta'ala give us the hidayat and the tawfiq to make good amal, and Allah Ta'ala forgive our evil sins and all the minor major sins, and Allah Ta'ala use us for you.
Jazakumullah khairan, Mufti Saab, for that reminder and these lessons. May Allah Azza wa Jal grant us the tawfiq to practice. Make dua for us as well. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.